Good morning. It's 18 minutes after 8 o'clock. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Joining me in the studio this morning, a number of special guests today. I've got Zuhal Bailey, the artistic director of the Sitka Summer Music Festival. Kayla Betcher is the executive director, incoming executive director of the Sitka Summer Music Festival. And my co-host for this interview will be Mateo Bailey. And Mateo, you're in town because, are you going to the science camp while your dad's with the music festival?
Yes.
Okay. How are you liking it?
Science stuff.
Okay, science stuff.
Cool.
And science stuff is fun.
Yes, it's fun.
Okay, you're going to spend the day probably out on the beach today, doing more science stuff?
Yeah, because today's the last day.
All right. Well, thanks for sitting in with me and operating the board. Mateo is helping me control the microphones and things. And Zuhal, I did choose this piece for
you. Thank you very much for that.
the Bach Prelude for unaccompanied cello, number one. But I guess I'm not the first radio host to pull this one on you.
Well, it never surprises to hear this on the banjo. It's the banjo, right?
Yes.
Okay. It just proves that Bach can be played on really any instrument, and it sounds wonderful in a different variety of ways. I've heard it on the marimba. I've heard it on the trombone. Of course, the cello, the viola, all string instruments. Bach is, I think, the musician's kind of God, and he kind of created how we see it all, and of course, inspired most composers. So this was not the first time I'd heard it on banjo, though.
And we were having a conversation last time you were here, just before we went on the air. You were talking about that composers of Bach's era necessarily didn't always expect to be front and center with their music. Sometimes their music was commissioned by, you know, the nobility, and they were expected to sort of be in the background a little bit. And Bach had that sort of understanding as well. He wouldn't mind us playing his piece as a background.
No, and in fact, Bach during his own time used his own music as just the reference to fulfill his job at the churches. He was more known for as an organ repairman than he was as a composer. I don't know if you knew that or not, but that's truth. I'm very prolific in the output of music, but a lot of it was lost. And I don't know if you know this story also, but they found some of his greatest works with meat wrapped in them at the deli, because there was just more paper. There was so much Bach everywhere that they used it to wrap deli meat as well.
So in some archive somewhere, there are these juice stained
chaconne with roast beef on it.
Amazing. Well, I don't think there's going to be any Bach during our concerts this weekend. We're looking at Tanev.
Well, yeah, this week is a very special week where we're celebrating something even greater than all of this. It's that we're celebrating our founder. We're celebrating Paul Rosenthal. And when this week was conceived, it was what one could call a carte blanche week. Paul, I invited him back last year. Was his celebratory summer 40th anniversary, and also kind of the changing of the guard. And that this was my first summer as artistic director, and I invited him back. And of course, he said he would love to be here. And I said, well, what's important to you? And let's do that. And so he has a real affinity for the composer Taneyev. And like many of the things he's done over the past 40 years, he's kind of given a complete overlook view of many of the composers. For instance, we finished the last of the Beethoven string quartets in the first concert. There's a cycle of 16 of them. So in the first concert this summer, we finished that cycle. And very fittingly, he programmed the three string quartets of Taneyev of the six that he had not programmed before here. So he's finishing yet another cycle here, and he's pairing them with the great Mozart viola quintets. So it's a real, you get it all, and you also get something greater than.
It's interesting to hear the thought that goes into this, you know, because I guess it's, as audience, we might not always be aware that this level of detail or this much attention is being paid to completing the musical cycles. But for artists, it must be significant for the people performing to realize that they're putting something that's really great out for us.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't think people really do realize the amount of thought that goes into these things. And this is also what is unveiled at the pre-concert lectures. If people were to come early to the concerts, where we talk about why this is not a random occurrence of pieces put together on any particular program. Sometimes it's by inspiration. Sometimes it's to finish a cycle. Sometimes it's to give an insight into a composer's life, different portions, so it'd be an early period versus a late period. Many times in history of art and music, what their output represents is where they are psychologically, or what they're going through, or a war, or something in real life. And they just happen to be able to express it through music, or in this case music, but it could be poetry, it could be the visual arts as well. So we tend to talk about that in detail at the pre-concert lectures. And we're also doing something very interesting this week. Of course, we've got the standard evening Masterworks concert tomorrow night, or tonight, sorry, at 7:30 at Centennial Hall. But tomorrow night, we're trying something different. It's kind of an experiment, but it's an experiment that we will sculpt and do many times again, where we're doing essentially what you were alluding to earlier on, putting music in a situation that was probably the way it was presented way back when these pieces were written. You know, when back in the day of Beethoven or Haydn, or these people, Mozart, there would be a social gathering, usually around food, wine, friendship, social stuff, and a composer would be asked to write something for that event or to unveil something at that event, usually not in its entirety. And in this case, we're going to do them in their entirety, but we are doing a wine and cheese event where we'll have tables and a different kind of setting in the concert hall, and they'll be serving food while listening to this music. So we're going to make it more of a social setting, kind of like we did do at the Larkspur, but it'll be much grander, and it's a special ticket price. It's essentially a fundraiser as well. So if this goes as we hope it will, and we want it to be kind of the place to be, an intimate setting, so we're trying to keep the numbers down, but it is limited seating in a way. We'll do it again next year in a different kind of setting and continue to broaden out, and maybe even pair next year the music with the food itself, so you can have the culinary arts that paired with the music that maybe represents a flavor that a composer was going for.
It sounds great. How are the logistics unfolding for this, Kayla? Tomorrow, it's like you get one bottle on the house or something?
Yeah, well, our board member, Cindy Gibson, has really taken this project and just run with it. I think it's going to be a very special event. She has the decorating itself. I mean, she's really transforming Centennial Hall to be, I believe, a sort of a garden-like atmosphere. And yes, you get the bottle of wine and the food on your table when you arrive. That all comes with the ticket price. There will be, more available for purchase, more wine and non-alcoholic beverages as well available during. And there'll be more breaks throughout the evening. So it's not just a typical concert setting where it's, one half and then an intermission and then the second half. It'll be more breaks in between the pieces so that there will be more opportunities to socialize and to get up and refresh your beverages or your plates or whatever.
Yeah, it's just interesting that that I think you're right on the button there, Zuhl, that the composers who originally put these pieces together might be surprised to see the context which they're performed now, in concert halls.
I think, and this has evolved rather quickly over the past century. I think and I jokingly call most concert settings are like going to the aquarium. There's a complete disconnect now, and it's a shame. And they've also, most concert halls have gotten so large in the 1,500, 2,000, 2,500 realm seats that there's a massive disconnect. Not only from the performers themselves, but the sound. So we're trying to go backwards in time and do it very differently, where I think the performers themselves might not even be on the stage tomorrow night. We're determining that. We want to have it where they're right in the middle of everyone.
Yeah, and I think it's fitting that it's going to be Paul and some of the traditional festival performers or some of the veterans
right.
who are going to be kind of out there cutting edge.
Well, that was also one of the points, is that when Paul returned, we discussed the point that he wanted to bring the people that have performed these works with him, but as well, it represents this merging into another chapter. So the first week, 2 weeks of the segment were a lot of my close friends. This middle section is Paul and his close friends, which are remembered wonderfully from the past. And then we move into the third segment, which is kind of the future of all that we're going to be doing, which is a really strong educational component by bringing the Ataka String Quartet and Kevin Hekmakpana to infiltrate the fine arts camp, as well as to give concerts as well.
Uh-huh. Going after the kids, going after the youth. I like it. Anyway, it's going to be 7:30 p.m. tonight. Is going to be the traditional concert setting. It's the Friday, June 22nd concert, 6:45 p.m. Susan Wingrove is going to give the pre-concert lecture. It's Mozart and Taneyev tonight. And
in fact, Paul will be the person being interviewed tonight. So it'd be interesting to be there to hear his take on the concert itself.
Yeah, and Armin's going to be playing, and Agnes is going to be there as well. And then tomorrow, the more relaxed, informal setting, but still great music, just in a more intimate, maybe more historical.
Right, and still an attentive sort of thing, you know, not informal to the extent of it being background music by any stretch, but right, yeah, that more of an integrated kind of
social experience. Yeah, well, I remember very well last year, Zul, when you and Paul... I think you had a trio at the Chamber of Commerce. You were right there in the middle of the tables, and it was, I mean, people were eating their lunch and everything, but there was just kind of an intensity in the room that's just hard to describe. I mean, I was sitting 3 feet away from Paul and just listening to you guys tune up and sort of connect with each other over the piece. It was like being in the huddle of the New England Patriots or something. It was a weird kind of experience for an audience member.
My father grew up in the South Carolina, North Carolina realm, where NASCAR was rather large, and he went to one race, and he said, when you sit really close, you come out with tire on your face, like the burned rubber, mm-hmm. when it comes off the cars. And I've never forgot that analogy. Or that reference, because I feel like we should be close enough to the performers where you get rosin and perspiration. It's like sitting next to the boxing ring.
Okay, so if you're starting to sneeze tomorrow, you're...
you're too close. Step back.
That's good. Kayla?
Excuse me, I also wanted to mention that Sunday afternoon is the family concert, the traditional family concert. Kids of all ages welcome to come, and the musicians are putting together a real special program for that, followed, which is sponsored by BP, followed by the Ice Cream Social, sponsored by C-Mart, root beer floats and ice cream outside of Centennial Hall following the concert. That starts at 3 on Sunday afternoon.
All right.
Well, that's a free concert for everyone.
Okay. Well, good. I had one last question for Mateo before we go. Mateo, so today's your last day of science camp, right?
Yeah.
And what's your favorite thing to do in Sitka when you're not in camp? How do you spend your time?
Well, I like going fishing. I like going to the ocean. I like looking at crabs. Well, everything that includes Sitka style.
Yeah. I guess it wouldn't surprise you. We all like doing that stuff too.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah. And this weekend I hope to do all those things.
I do too.
My co-host this morning here on the operator side of the board has been Mateo Bailey. We've been interviewing his dad, Zul Bailey, the artistic director of the Sitka Summer Music Festival, and Kayla Betcher, who's the incoming executive director of the festival. You can get complete information online about the Sitka Music Festival events at sitkamusicfestival.org. Thanks, everybody, for coming in this morning, and thanks especially, Mateo, for helping me out.